And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on a Monday morning. Nice, crisp, cold winter day. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. What a weekend. Wow. Plenty to talk about. Lots of football, a little hockey mixed in. We're going to have a great show for you today. And so we will break it down. The suit, only a cameo role today, we believe. A lot of suit duties today, so he's going to miss. He's going to miss out on the fun.
Yeah,
he's
going to
miss out on the fun. So, D-Mace, your alma mater got a victory over the weekend?
Absolutely. You know we did.
And my alma mater got a football win over the weekend.
That was probably the biggest win in Nashville this weekend. It probably was, considering, you know, the opponent each team was playing, the Titans, the UT, and Vanderbilt, TSU, Belmont, you know. Well, not Belmont. Do I want to just play this weekend in basketball, did they? There were a few games.
They play tonight against Lipscomb, so it's the Battle of the Boulevard tonight. Ooh. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's always a good one. But you know what, Mace? Uh-huh. I have to say, I'm just going to give a little shout out. First, Michelle deserves credit. She walked in. She congratulated me. I had my Vanderbilt hat on today. She was very gracious, given the fact that her team in the top 25 dropped one to the Commodores, who had lost 26 straight league games. But I don't know if you saw this, D-Mace, but we're going to get to the Titans here in just a moment. Certainly, we're going to break down the victory yesterday against the Broncos. We'll talk about Tennessee, the Heisman race, the playoff race. We'll get some Preds in there. But, Derek, did you see Clark Lee and in his post-game interview right after the game ended?
I didn't see the post-game interview.
He broke down. He just broke down, very emotional. Because, look, it's not easy trying to do what he's doing right now. He took over the program at the lowest of the lows that I can remember. And I've seen it low for Vanderbilt football. He took over at the lowest point. A league win there when it looked like they may not win a league game for two straight years under his watch, it meant a lot to him. And the way they pulled it out, that was pretty big for them. They were a big underdog, and they're playing with their backup quarterback. And let me give a shout-out to Mike Wright as well. There's a guy that lost his job. He's an upperclassman, lost his job to a freshman. Probably could have bailed on the program. Probably could have said, you know what? Team's not real successful. I put in my time. I'm not in the plans here. Let me go to find another place where I can play. But he stuck it out, and he's improved, and he led them to a win against Kentucky. So hats off. And I know a lot of you who don't care about Vanderbilt one way or the other, probably sitting there going, hey, it's one win. Who cares? That's a big win. They needed to take a step forward. Now they can honestly go out in the recruiting front and say, we're making progress. We're better than we were a year ago. We're starting to find little pieces. We need more players. You can be a part of something special here. And, of course, we know the game has changed, right? Anybody at any time can leave.
Yeah.
It's your right as a player. You can leave. You don't like it, you can leave. And a lot of people do. And I don't think it's always the smartest thing, but it's the right that the players have now. With the NIL, with the transfer rule, you can go. So holding on to your own players when a program has struggled is now even tougher than it used to be. So building a program is tough. So, big win for Vanderbilt. We'll see what they can do. They've got Florida at home. We'll see what happens there. And then, of course, they've got Tennessee. So, salute to the Commodores. My alma mater. Just give them a little shout out there. We'll talk to Clark Lee tomorrow.
Absolutely. But on to bigger and I don't know if you would say exciting things, but I mean, this Titan team, they, even though I had them losing yesterday, because I just thought, man, you know, the guys that are not playing on defense, it's one thing to not have Bud Dupree. We are used to not having Bud Dupree in and out of the lineup. We've gotten used to Imani Hooker not being
in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, in and
all
out
the
of
time.
The lineup. And because Adams has come in and he's done a really good job at that safety spot. But when Jeffrey Simmons or Zach Cunningham, when he goes out, we don't miss a beat. It's just, okay, next guy up, boy, to somebody else. They do a really
Dylan
good
Cole.
Job.
Yeah, Dylan Unbelievable.
Cole. Yeah, Dylan Cole.
Guy's
plays
awesome.
Great. But when Jeffrey Simmons goes down, you think, oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, the scale has tipped because Jeff went down. Because he is arguably, beside Derrick Henry, he is the best player. He's the most dominating player on their team.
No question about
it. Most dominating player on their team. And when he goes down, you're like, oh, man. And then you add those other guys in there. But I tell you what, Shane Bourne, you got to take your hat off to him.
Yeah. Well, you didn't even mention Christian Fulton, who's become
Christian
a pretty darn
good
player.
And
that
he
was
out.
A curveball thrown at you right before the game.
He was out. And then they had corners go out during the game.
Yes. Elijah Molden, they've been waiting all year.
He goes down.
And he can't finish the game. And then David Long, another critical guy in and out of the game.
I'm not worried about I got something to say about it. I'm going to put David Long in his whole little separate category.
Okay.
I got some stuff to say about that. But let's put him in his own category. But when those guys go down on top of Jeffrey Simmons, you just think, man, this is it. This is when the dam breaks.
Yes.
And
the
defense
thought the
is like, they're going to give up even to a – and I mean, we sat there and we watched the Houston Texan game. And I sat there and I said, man, this is a bad offense. And I wasn't even talking about the Titans because we know the Titans offense isn't that
we'll
good
get to the
passing
Titans
the ball.
Offense. We're going to get to the Titans.
But I offense. Looked at that Houston team and I said, man, this is a bad offensive team, like bad. Nah. Mm-mm. I didn't know what was in store for me when I said Houston was bad. Because when I watched Denver, it was embarrassing. Russell Wilson needs to hang it up for the rest of the season. It's not just Hackett's fault. Because Hackett designs the plays. Russell Wilson throws behind receivers. Hear me again. Hackett designs the plays and Russell Wilson throws behind the receivers. Or he throws over the receivers. Very seldom is he hitting receivers right in their numbers.
So you think Russell Wilson is part of the problem?
Yes, he is horrible this year. From what I've seen, and I've heard this from Bronco fans, believe me, they're like, he's bad this year. I didn't, you know, because we don't watch the Broncos all the time. We just see snapshots of them. And it's like, okay, he can't be that bad. No, he's that bad. He is. And his offensive line don't help him.
No.
But, man.
They have a pile of problems.
When he has an opportunity to hit a guy, he misses him. It seemed like every time. And I thought this was the game when Jeffrey Simmons was down, the dam breaks, and here we go. Y'all going to make a horrendous Denver offense look really good. But you know what? Guys like Tyre Tarte, guys like Mario Edwards, guys, Danico Autry, whoever you want to say across that line. I forgot the one kid's name, Oko. He had two offsides.
Well, he had like a roughing the passer.
Yeah,
and
an offside.
Lined
the roughing
up in
the passer
zone.
Was like,
was,
really?
Yeah.
But the lineup in the neutral zone, yes, he should have bagged back. But even with all of that, that defense played really good. Considering the guys they didn't have. So I take my hat off to Shane Bourne and I take my hat off to Mike Vrabel because they were able to get that defense that didn't have its best players. I'm saying its top two players they didn't have. Jeffrey Simmons and Bud Dupree. They didn't have them.
Yeah. Not to mention Christian Fulton,
exactly.
Who's become more and more important as the season has gone on here because he's improved, I think, from year to year. I said the same thing. My son was going to the game yesterday. When he left, I was like, I don't know. I said, when I saw that Fulton was out on top of all the other stars, I said, you know, Tannehill, I don't know if he can move. We looked at what the offense did the week before. I'm like, this is a really good defense. I said, they may not have. I said, this might be like the Texans game last year. He was more optimistic. He comes back at me and says, Dad, I went to the Saints game last year. This is going to be like the Saints game. And it was. And it, more often than not, this team just can fight and scrap and just find a way to get over the top. I don't know how they do it. It amazes me. But they believe that they're going to win. They do the little things. And as much heat as John Robinson gets, and probably deservedly so, about not finding the big pieces, he is, I got to say, do you agree with me on this? He might be the best at just finding the guys off the street. There's more to add to the club yesterday that just come in and play a role. I mean, Dylan Cole was one of those guys, and now he's a guy that's all over the place. He makes plays, special teams. You need a bit linebacker, he's in there at linebacker. He's in there with the game on the line. Adams comes in a couple weeks ago. Yesterday they have a brand new punt returner. Never heard of the guy.
No.
Comes in there, has a great game. Draws a penalty covering a punt. Backs him up. Makes several great decisions on punts. And believe me, yesterday there were a lot of punts. There were a lot of punts. And he, if he makes a big mistake, you know, he just comes in there.
He makes
Nobody
one
knows
mistake.
Who he, one That's, mistake, that could be the game.
That could be the game.
But he made excellent decisions. And he made a couple of nice returns. Helped the field position. Those are the things that are the difference between the Titans being 6-3 and the Broncos, who play the same kind of game. Bad offense, excellent defense. The Broncos are 3-6. These little things that the Titans find ways to do, that's the difference in this league. Every team's got some issues. Most teams, anyway, have big issues. Titans have issues, and they still are 6-3. It's remarkable.
Well, I mean, you just gotta take your hats off to what they're able to do on defense, and then on offense, they're able to just do just enough.
Just enough.
And I mean, barely just enough.
Okay,
and to win games.
And let's get to that next, because I know a lot of people. And by the way, just now that the Titans have beaten the Broncos, just remember, I'm just going to remind people one more time, because it's in the rearview mirror. Jared, you did propose the trade. Russell Wilson from the Seahawks to the Titans for 3 first-round picks and Kevin Byard. You said it last year.
But
you
did pick Denver. Though. He
you
did
wanted
the
Russell
Titans
Wilson.
Win yesterday.
You wanted Russell Wilson. You wanted Russell Wilson. Okay. Now that that's off my chest, we go to the break. We come back. We'll talk about the Titans' offense. And if you want to weigh in, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Call or text your reaction to the Titans game yesterday. Titans are 6-3. Most of the pundits before the season, probably outside of Nashville, the national pundits had the Colts winning this division. The Titans are in control of it right now. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Nick Kieser is back behind the board after the vacation. Nick, how was the vacation yesterday?
Well, it was a week, and it was one that I needed, and I'm bringing back some James for you, Willie.
I'd like it.
I see.
Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, Sookie, now. Come on. Come on. I like it.
Very nice stuff. You cannot go wrong with the Bee Gees. Now, D-Mace, let's get to the Titans on the offensive side of the ball. We all agree. Gutsy win, did what they had to do. It was a typical Titans kind of win. But I will give you just my take. I hear, and the morning show was exactly what I thought it would be, and in the aftermath, I was listening to Chad and Hutton on 102.5 after the game, breaking it down. I looked at a lot of the social media reaction. It just fascinates me how much criticism Todd Downing still gets. Now, I know the one play had everybody going nuts, but overall, I thought it was a sound game plan for what they had to work with and given the defense they were going at. I gave Todd Downing very solid marks yesterday. It, like I've been saying, he's a B defensive coordinator. He's not a wizard. He's not a Jedi master by any stretch. But he gets completely railed on every week with a lot of limitations in personnel. I thought this was another example. I thought he did what he had to do to win the game. I thought they actually took a step forward as the offense last week. But give me your thoughts.
From an offensive standpoint, this team is still they're not a good passing team. And it's almost as if I'm watching this team and they struggle. It's like a it's like one of those things you do but you really don't want to do because you know you don't do it well, but you know you got to do it in order to, you know, do get what you want or do what you want. It's one of those deals with them. Like, they know they got to pass, but they know they're not good at it. But in order for them to move the ball down the field, they have to. It's almost like we got to throw it, you know. We can't just run the ball 80 times with Derrick Henry.
Right. And they finally faced the defense that was not going to let them run.
Absolutely. And it was like – it was just hard watching their pass game because you knew it was a struggle for the quarterback to try to find an open guy. The only time they got open, it seemed like, and caught passes when the defense was off. Like, when they just let them, okay, we're just going to basically let y'all catch the ball. Like, the two-minute drive right before half.
Which was a huge drive.
Yeah. It was like Denver just backed off and said, y'all can have these five-yarders, six-yarders, hit them, and go down the field. I don't understand why they did that, but they did. And the Titans capitalized. It seems like
that. But to get a touchdown there.
Yeah.
If it's 10-3. Yeah. I still feel very good if I'm the Broncos, but 10-7,
it's a different story.
It felt like,
but it was
felt
just like
so big.
Pulling teeth with this offense passing game. There seems to be no creativity. There seems to be no knowing who my playmakers are. Like, I understand that, but it's like, okay, it's almost like Little League football where we want everybody to touch the ball, okay? We want everybody to get a chance to touch the ball instead of saying, you know what? We got a few guys in here that can make a plays, and we're going to go to them, you know? I know Austin Hooper caught 3 or 4 passes, but all of them was basically nobody on him. He better catch him when nobody's on him. When you're talking about contested catches, they have a hard time at making those contested catches. This offense, from a passing standpoint, it's plain. It's vanilla. It has no creativity whatsoever. And then when they try to get creative, it backfires
on them. What do you mean it backfires? They hit a flea flicker for a touchdown.
I'm talking about the Malik Willis.
I know you are, but yes. I'm talking about a touchdown that won the game for them.
You are absolutely. And why did it win the game? Because the two guys ran right into each other.
Yes.
They ran it, but they ran right into each other.
If you're going to rip them on the Malik Willis.
No, that was a good call. No, I'm not saying it wasn't a good call, Willie.
Okay, but
it was a good call.
All over Twitter, I see it left and right. What are you doing on that play? There's no creative. You try to get cute. Well, what about when they got cute and ran the flea flicker and they got a touchdown to win the game? They don't give them credit for that. You got to give them credit.
I give them credit for that, but that's the same. It's like, okay, I give you credit for I know you are a B or A or B student. I'm not going to give you a credit for getting a C. Like, you're better than that. I'm not going to.
So you think that they have that? You don't think they're overachieving a little bit against that defense? How many points did you think they were going to score?
It's not
against
even,
that defense.
It's not even a point. It's just there's the lack of creativity beside the flea flicker. But other than that, this offense is just it's hard to explain. This is an offense that...
To me, it's not hard to explain. They don't have very many good players.
And play calling is suspect, too. I'm not going to say it's bad, but it's suspect at times. At times,
they don't have to throw the ball all over the yard to win. They know that when they play the Broncos, if you score 17, you're probably going to win. You know how many teams have scored more than 17 in regulation against the Broncos this year?
Not many, because they're only giving up like 15, 16 points a game.
One.
Yeah.
Each week... They've gone to overtime twice, okay? But they have given up more than 17 in regulation once.
But like I tell my kids, I'm not worried about those other teams.
But that's how you beat the Broncos. You don't need
about this team.
You don't need to have this creative offense that throws it all over the place and wins for your fantasy team.
It's
they're trying. They don't want to turn the ball over.
Uh-huh.
They have trouble protecting the quarterback, who could not move yesterday. He was not mobile
at
all.
He was moving a little bit better than what I thought he was going to be.
Well, I will say that. I agree. He toughed it out. I didn't think he'd be able to function as well as he did. But if you notice, he didn't roll out hardly at all. He had the one scramble where he was hurting after the scramble. He was stretching out.
They hit him on the ankle. But, but I'm going to ask you this. Is this an NFL offense?
Yes, because for what the defense is,
but
when they have the defense.
No, Willie.
You're winning with defense. It's a Jeff Fisher, Bill Parcells kind of offense.
But is this, when you're looking at today's offenses, is this, and I get it, win is a win is a win, and you move forward. But again, it's like one of those deals where everybody knows the problem, but they say, let's just keep it going. Then when you finally get to a point where those problems become problems, like, they become a problem where you're not going to get over.
Right.
Then everybody's saying, well, this offense, they knew what this offense was, and they should have got more players in here. I understand they're winning. I get that. But this is not a NFL passing.
Right.
Passing offense.
Because they traded A.J. Brown.
It's more than that. I have come to find out that it's more than that. It's truly more than just A.J. Brown. Because even with A.J. Brown, this offense was sort of inept at times. It's not like A.J. was getting 100 yards a game and he was getting a touchdown a game. He wasn't. Sometimes he would disappear. And now I'm wondering, was it A.J. or was it the offense? Because if I say it was A.J. and his offense still looked the same, I'm wrong. So it must be the offense. Because AJ's somewhere else and he's balling out. You got other receivers going to other places and they're having good years. Like, they go somewhere else and they do well. Beside Julio Jones, let's take that one out, even though he had a touchdown yesterday. But these other guys are going to other places and we're like, wow, they're doing much better. Yeah, because it's this offense.
I
it has
think
nothing
the
to do with the players
doing
anymore.
What it needs to do to win. With what they
no,
have.
No, you're absolutely right.
And so that is not on Todd Downing. That's on how the offense is built.
Well, okay, we need to blame Vrabel and Robinson.
Well, I do think that's part of it. But why would you blame Vrabel for anything? What they're doing.
Because he's the head coach.
I know, but what they're doing, they're maximizing what they have.
You're coach
6-3.
You coach the players I put in front of you.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a winning formula.
I
win with my defense. It's a Bill Parcells, Jeff Fisher kind of thing. You played on teams like
that. Well, back then, that offense, that was the norm. That was the norm back then. You
right.
know
they're
it.
Going old school. It
but
works.
Eventually.
It's
if
worked
we,
for them.
I understand that. But if we can't blame the offensive coordinator, who do we blame?
The personnel. They don't
the players.
Have the personnel. Yeah,
well, who do we blame then? If they don't have the players, who put the players on the field?
Look, if you had A.J. Brown, this would be at least an average offense. And you would have an average offense with a great defense, and it is a great defense.
Yeah, that defense is pretty good. But, again, Willie, if we can't blame Todd Downing for some of this ineptness of the offense, and we can't blame Mike Vrabel because he's just coaching who we throw in there, who in the hell do we blame?
You don't blame anybody. They're 6-3.
It's
hard to score in this league.
No, it's not. If you know what you're doing.
Is scoring up or down in the league?
I don't know.
I need
to check.
It's down.
We need to check that, Willie. We need to check
it's
to
down.
Make sure. I'm not just going to say it's down, Willie. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't do the
all
whole
right.
work.
Well, let's.
We need to do
take
it.
Take a look. I'll verify it.
Okay.
All right. I want to tell me what you think. I'd love to hear this. 615-737-1025. For all of the Downing people out there, down on Downing. That should be the name of the club. Down on Downing. The texters, the tweeters. Tell me what you thought, honestly, of his grade yesterday against one of the top defenses in the league in a game where you knew you probably didn't have to score a lot of points. What was his grade yesterday? 615-737-1025. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. We're asking for the down on Downings to call in or text in. Give an honest grade yesterday in the context of playing against a defense that had given up more than 17 points in regulation once on the season. They got 17. If you ask me, D-Mace, and you told me that before the game, Derrick Henry was going to average less than 3 yards a carry. He wouldn't have a carry more than 10 yards. They would be behind 10-0. And you told me they'd end up with 17 points. I'd have taken it right there. I would have said, I don't want to know what anything else. You tell me they score 17, I will take 17 and take my chances. So I gave the offense and Todd Downing a solid B-plus yesterday. But tell me what you think. 615-737-1025. By the way, if I'm reading this right, teams are down a point per game, down 3 points a game from 2 years ago on average. So that would be the average team right now is averaging about 22 points a game this year. They averaged 23 last year. So it's down, not as much as I thought it was, but it is down a little bit. So let's see what the texters have to say. 615-737-1025. Let's start with David in Arkansas. The numbers don't lie. Downing is awful. He was bad last year with AJ. 32nd total offense in the league is unacceptable. He is a bottom-tier OC, and his history has shown this. You can even call him an OC because if you can even call him an OC because it doesn't seem like he's coordinating anything sometimes. See, I think that that is so off base when you consider what he has had to work with. If he had A.J. Brown and, you know, if he had Stephon Diggs and if he had Josh Allen quarterbacking, I mean, these are all – he doesn't have a lot of weapons. And he every week he has the issue of the fact that he's got a left tackle that is very, very limited, replacement level. They have trouble protecting the quarterback. Oh, by the way, his quarterback has been hurt for the last 2 weeks, toughing it out. So what? I don't know what your expectation level is as you grade Todd Downing. That's been my thing. I don't think he's a wizard, but it's very limited what they have to work with. So I you know, David is not uncommon at all with his take there, but I just think that's really unfair. What's your expectation level?
Why is it my expectation level is for this team to go out and put together a consistent game. And they have not been able to put together a consistent offensive passing game. They've been able to put together a consistent defensive game. They've been able to put together a consistent run game, but they haven't been and here's the problem. You got the best running back in the National Football League, and you're not using – it's like having a superpower and not using it.
They're not using Derrick Henry?
No, that's not what I'm saying. They're running the ball with Derrick Henry. That should leave everybody else one-on-one, and that should be – you should be able to design things and everything else where guys get open. Why? Because you can run the football. Why does Buffalo or Kansas City have trouble at times in the pass?
Because they can't run very well.
Because they can't run the football. Because they cannot run the football. Well, the Titans run the football.
Yes.
Which means you're always going to see that extra man in the box. Why is it that you can't design something to get these guys open? I understand you got to have the Jimmys and the Joes. But you also got to be able to put together a package to get these Jimmys and Joes open. You know, because these guys are, the guys that they have at the receiver position, are they great? No. But they are good players. They're good enough to be in the NFL. You got to find a way to get these guys open. You haven't found a way to get none of your supposedly playmakers open. If you're not handing the ball off to Derrick Henry, it's hard for you to get guys open. From a schematic standpoint, we see it across the NFL where you see all these offenses running different things. And, yes, it's not perfect. I understand that. But at least when we're watching games, even the bad teams, we watch some consistency in a passing game.
I get it. Now, I'm going to, again, go old school. The teams that you played on, those were not wide open, let's throw it all over the field kind of thing. It evolved As Eddie George aged a little bit, slowed down, and Steve McNair progressed, you progressed, the passing game progressed under Mike Heimerdinger, it got more towards, and let's be honest, the whole game started modernizing and the pass became a bigger thing. But I still think it works if you have an excellent defense, which the Titans have, and you know you don't have to score a ton. The more you open it up and scheme and some of the things that you're saying, I would be afraid that with their pass protection issues, there's going to be more mistakes. That's the other thing that I don't think he gets credit for. They do not turn the ball over. They have, against Buffalo, you saw what happened. They got behind. They turned it over a bunch. But really, when you look at their winning formula, it's don't take a lot of chances. Don't turn the ball over. Our defense will win the game. We'll be opportunistic on offense. Is that fair?
You're right.
Now, but I know what you're saying. In the playoffs, you got to have that extra gear. You got to be able to win in more ways. But I think with their limitations, with their personnel, I think they're winning the way they need to win right now. I got to hope that if I'm Mike Vrabel, that Treylon Burks will give me more by the end of the season, that he will help in the passing game somewhat. I mean, you can see he's got tools. Maybe in another month, if he stays healthy, he'll get a little bit better each week. I got to hope that that's the case, right? I mean, you got to hope that Okonkwo and Hooper, some of the plays that they made yesterday, hopefully there's more to come with that. But it's a process that you're trying to inch forward in the meantime, winning the way you need to win. Not taking a lot of chances, running the ball, and making plays, making just enough plays to win.
This team is sort of a how do you say it? It's because they run the ball so well a majority of the times, it's like they handicap themselves because they rely so heavily on the run. And I get it, I understand why. But they rely so heavily on the run that this team, from a passing standpoint, never can get into a rhythm, ever. I don't understand why in 2 minutes, and I get 2 minutes, I do, but it doesn't change so much that you're able to move the ball during 2 minutes going into the half, and you can't move the damn ball when it's just second quarter with, 8 minutes left in the second quarter. It's like, I understand the difference, like 2 minutes, I get it, I understand it, but my thing is, if this team couldn't move the ball during 2 minutes, I would say, okay, this team's awful. But this team can move the ball during 2 minutes. So what is the disconnect? That's what I want to know. If you can move the ball during 2 minutes when you need to, what's the disconnect? Why you can't move the ball if it's not 2 minutes? I don't get that part. Why you can't design something in a passing game? Spread them out. If you got to spread them out, spread them out.
But this isn't a spread them out kind of
team. No, you got to. Because, again, when you get in the playoffs, you know what's going to happen? They're not playing the Denver Broncos no more. They're playing other teams with good defenses and offenses. And you're going to have to be able to score points.
I do think that's the biggest question going forward is, can they get themselves equipped to win in the playoffs? Can they, if they need that gear offensively in the playoffs? Is
because
it that,
they can win in the regular season. I'm not worried about that with the Titans.
No, I'm just saying you got to give them some credit for being able to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of people before the season did not think they'd be 6-3 right now. Okay, we got a bunch of texts we want to get to. We'll do that on the other side. We're looking for comments on the Titans offense here. And listen, there's a lot to be excited about with this team. This team, as I've said so many times, is tough. They figure it out. They know how to win. They're well coached. And a lot of people like to dump on the offense. But that's what we're talking about here. 615-737-1025. And our call and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stay tuned. We got another segment coming up. Teron Davenport at 11 o'clock. Mike Vrabel's press conference today a little bit earlier at 11:45. So we'll be carrying that as well. Stay tuned. We're coming back. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Got a lot of people that want to weigh in on our discussion about the Titans, who got the big win yesterday, 17-10 in very Titans fashion. over the Broncos. Thursday night, a quick turnaround going to Lambeau Field. The Green Bay Packers with a big win yesterday. Came from behind, won in overtime against the Cowboys. There's life at Lambeau. So are they catching the Packers at a good time or a bad time? We will find out. And, yep, the Titans are underdogs again. Not a surprise.
You didn't think so?
So let's get back to the text line, D-Mace. I think Downing does, this is from Fred in Ashland City. I think Downing does okay, especially with what he has. The biggest problem he has is doing wild, crazy plays that don't make much sense and sometimes are big drive killers. And I know what he's talking about. The play to Malik Willis where they came in and ran the read option.
And I
know everybody gets on that.
I feel bad
for
Malik,
if you're going to mention that, you got to give him credit for the flea flicker. The flea flicker is exactly what he's saying. Wild, crazy plays. Creative plays. Sometimes they're drive killers. Yeah, sometimes they score touchdowns and win you the game.
More times than not, they don't win.
Okay, but
I get it. And then, listen.
You can't mention one without the other.
I understand that. And you give kudos to – because I don't want people to miss the big point. The big point is the Titans won.
Yes.
And they got another victory. However it happened, however inept that passing game is, the defense has carried them, and the defense is going to continue to carry them. So hats off to Shane Bowen. Hats off to Mike Vrabel, because whatever they're doing, they understand that if they're going to win games, it's all on the defense to do it for them. And they understand it. Like, everybody in that building understands, if the defense doesn't play, we're not going to win. If the defense doesn't play well, and I'm talking about a Herculean effort, if they don't give a Herculean effort every game, and they've given that in their wins, even in the Kansas City loss, they gave a Herculean effort. If the defense doesn't give this every game, we're not going to win. Everybody in that building knows.
Yep. I have no disagreement there.
So I don't want that to be lost in what we're discussing. My thing is, everybody wants this Tennessee Titans team to go far in the playoff. And I understand we're not there yet. The Titans lose this division if they just don't play no more, because AFC South is just horrendous. Even though Indianapolis won the other day, Josh McDaniels need to be fired today. He should have been fired yesterday on the tarmac, but he wasn't. I know they wasn't on the tarmac, but he should have been fired.
The Lane Kiffin Award.
Exactly. But moving forward in the playoffs, this is all I'm talking about in the playoffs. This will not fly. We've seen it before. An inept offense does not fly in today's football, in the playoffs. It just doesn't. So to me, that's where I'm looking.
All right, let's read a couple of texts here. Kyle from New York. Hey, thanks for listening. In the Big Apple. I don't know what part of New York, actually. Downing can only work with the talent he has, but it's the lack of creativity and not making adjustments during the games that drives me crazy with Downing. Got to give him credit, though. The second half, they did do what they needed to do. They started to find things that they hadn't been finding in the second half. Here's one from an unnamed texter. They haven't been a team with a winning record. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record all season. Their 6-3 record is fool's gold because they're 0-3 against teams with winning records. They'll be one and done in the playoffs. Well, we shall find out. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with Jason up top. Jason, welcome to the show, and welcome in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace.
Hey, thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. A couple of comments. It all starts and ends with the offensive line, and that's been our Achilles heel for the past several years. We've tried to draft individuals to put in spots, and, of course, obviously, with Lewan on the left not being able to stay healthy, we've just swung and missed several times. My first question is there anybody out there to pick up that will be able to hold their position at least one-on-one, whether it be on the right side or the left side, so that we can...
You're saying, give me anybody. Give me your tired. Give me your poor. Get somebody.
Yeah, and to get back to, you know, the Green Bay upcoming game, I don't think we have any... Our defense is playing out of their minds, and thankfully so, but I just watched that rookie come alive this past week, and we don't have anybody fast enough to cover him. And we're really going to be in trouble. I believe that defensive backfield will be exposed this upcoming week with that speedster they've got, who's now coming into his own, and Lazar coming back and being healthy from his shoulder. I hope not. I hope we win. But I just call – that's my called shot right there. That rookie was extremely impressive.
He had a big game yesterday. Jason,
thanks
a lot.
Appreciate it.
I don't think you're going to find somebody – although the Titans find guys off the street. But left tackle is a little different animal.
What you see is what you get. And what you see is what's going to be on this team headed into the playoffs. Nothing's going to change as far as offensive line unless somebody gets hurt. And I pray to God no one gets hurt. But this offense that you see today, offensive line you see today, will be the offensive line in the first round here at Nissan Stadium come the playoffs. Because they will get at least one home game. And this is the offensive line that will come with their lunch pails ready to work. So there's nobody out there to get.
Yeah. As far as the defense, mm-hmm. and he's right. I mean, the light went on for the Packers.
But I'm not worried about that too much, Willie, because the Titans, whatever Vrabel and Bowen is doing, from a defensive standpoint, whatever game plan they come up with, I believe in it. From a defensive standpoint, I believe in it.
They believe in it. Yeah. That's the great thing is they could put anybody out there, mm-hmm. and they'll have those people believing, yeah, you can stop the Packers.
Exactly.
You can stop Aaron Rodgers. So that's encouraging. Now, I do wonder if they'll get anybody back for mm-hmm. Thursday or if it's going to be more of a, look, we got a little cushion here. Mm-hmm. You got a division that it just, the Colts showed big signs of life yesterday, but it is one game. They've got the Eagles this week. The Jags still can't figure it out. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had to go to Arrowhead. So you could look at this game and say, it's a non-conference game. If we win, great. But if there's a decision to be made where I could get some extra rest on the other side, mm-hmm. I got from after Thursday all the way through until the following game, and then I could have just a little more health, that's something you got to weigh, I think.
I would be surprised.
Like with Big Jeff?
Yeah, I would be surprised because they needed this AFC win. They needed that.
Yeah.
I would be surprised. I think Big Jeff may play, but these other guys with these hamstring issues and stuff, I don't know if they
– Hamstrings
gonna,
are yeah, tricky.
I don't know if they're going to suit up, especially after a quick turnaround. Even though a lot of them didn't play this past game, I can't see them then playing in this game. And we need to watch Ryan Tannehill as well.
That is a good point.
So,
and the caller was referring to Christian Watson, who had three touchdowns yesterday for the Packers. He's a guy that probably nobody had heard of before the season, and all of a sudden he looks pretty good. All right, let me get to – wait a minute. Yeah, let's go to Wilson, who is up next. Wilson, welcome into the show. Wilson.
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 All right, move on.
All right, Kevin. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Wilson, where are you?
He's on the island somewhere.
I've got a few takes, and I'll hang up and let you guys kind of weigh
okay,
in.
Okay, go quick because we got to move fast here.
Okay, all right. So, play call. So, Henry gets 10 yards. We pull him to put Hilliard in, our pass-catching running back, only to call a draw play. J-Rob, Willie, you're a baseball guy. I think he's more of a 200 batting average GM, not 300. And also,
there's a big difference between 200 and 300. What about 275?
Yeah,
can I get 275?
I feel
what's
like
his on base
one
percentage?
Step forward and two steps backwards. That's my take.
Okay.
So, and also, like, it's cool that, like, yeah, we're this tough team. We tough it out. We plug and play. But, like, man, I'm tired of, like, that being what we hang our hat on. Wouldn't it be great to have a healthy team for one season, and maybe we take it all the way?
It does seem like
hang
they've had some,
guys.
Kevin,
thank
good
you.
Stuff.
Appreciate
it,
Kevin. It
does seem like they have some bad luck with injuries. Like, this seems to be happening every year.
This has to be the most injured team
it seems
within
like.
The last two or three years in the NFL. At least that's the way it seems.
Yeah, and I know different people, different websites kind of measure one versus the other. I know if you study other teams, they'll be like, hey, look, we got a lot of injuries too. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, the Broncos lost Jerry Jeudy on the first drive. That was a big thing.
Oh,
that helped a lot to balance out the fact that the Titans didn't have Christian Fulton, mm-hmm. right? So they've caught some breaks as well. But it does seem like the Titans have more than their share, right? If you look at the injury report every week, just anecdotally, the list for the Titans almost takes up the whole page.
Is it the whole team that's on it?
The other team doesn't seem to have that many guys on that thing. All right, when we come back, Teron Davenport will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the game, and then don't forget Mike Vrabel at 11:45 live at the press conference. Let me tell you about Lee Company, big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Big, big win for the Predators on Saturday. Let's see if that's the start of good things to come. They've got a bunch of home games coming up, including tomorrow night against the Wild. Lee Company is a big sponsor of our Nashville Predators hockey coverage. Tomorrow night, pregame starts at 6 o'clock with Max Hurst. And then Pete and Howe will be on the call against the Wild. It'll also be on Bally Sports. You go down to Smashville, you always see the Lee Company display because they can give you the great service. It got below freezing last night. Is your heater working properly? Is your home insulated the right way? Do you have any maintenance issues that could help get that heating bill down a little bit because maybe there's a little too much airflow with the cracks in the windows or the doors? We got an older house. Our house was built in 1913, so we're always looking at stuff like that. Lee Company has helped us with that over the years. We've been working with them for a long, long time. So that's just one area that they can help. Give them a call at 615-567-1000. 615-567-1000 or go to leecompany.com.